The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Tzadi Tes. This simon deals with the obligation to bury the deceased, din kvura, ubeis hakfaras, and also the proper conduct in a cemetery, in a beis hakfaras. Now, the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah to bury the deceased, and the Chazal understood that that's dafka in kaka, it's in earth. So therefore, for example, the Paiskim say, it's forbidden to have a cremation. Why? Because that's not burying the body in earth. What an interesting shiloh that Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about is some cemeteries, for different reasons, they have the casket is put into a cement container that's buried underneath the ground. So Rav Moshe writes that two things. He says that really cement has the status of karka, has the status of land. So therefore, as earth, as we find, for example, in the laws of mikvahs, right, that people build the mikvah out of concrete, out of cement, and therefore placing the deceased in cement would actually be considered a form of kvura. And also, what they do is they put earth in this vault that's put in the earth, and the whole thing is underneath the earth, so that's definitely acceptable. The more difficult question is that, is it permitted for a person to be buried in a mausoleum, which is like a vault over the ground? So there, the bottom of the coffin is going to be laying on cement or on some sort of ground, but it's not underneath the ground. So this is already a question of the Paiskim. Many Paiskim consider this not to be real kavura, and therefore this should not be done. Another question that comes up is, what is the halacha about ash? You know, we talk about two scenarios. One scenario, let's say that a person did have the body cremated. Maybe they weren't religious, whatever the reason was. They did have the body cremated. Is there an obligation to bury that ash? That's number one. Number two is, unfortunately, in cases where there's a fire, or say during the Holocaust, these situations where it was done to a person against their will, what is the halacha of the ashes? So now, it seems to be the following distinction in Paiskim, that ash generally is not obligated to be have a chiv kvur on. So therefore, if a person willfully cremated their body, then there's not an obligation to bury the ash. However, if it was done against their will, so then it seems to be that there was a mitzvah of burying the ash, and that's why we bury the ashes of a person who God forbid, died in a fire, or like we said, a situation like the Holocaust, those ashes, there's a great mitzvah to bury. But a person who willfully agreed to have their body cremated, that's a different story, that there's not an obligation to bury the ashes. Now, with this little introduction, we're going to learn inside the Kitzer from Sif Aleph. The Kitzer says the following, Kfura hamura b'tayra, what is the form of burial that the Torah says one should do? One should put them in actual earth. Also, in his term. So here we have an interesting point that kvura seems to be in the ground itself. Now, what if the actual body is not touching the ground? So, say in Eretz Yisrael and other places where they put the body of the deceased directly on. Into the ground, so that's kvura b'karka mamash, which is actually in the earth. But what about like in other places, say in America, where they bury in a coffin? So over there, so it says like this: they bury the deceased in a coffin. Also, in a sarm, it's made out of boards. V'kach kaver my son, that's how they bury him. The afshu should let you nikbarm b'aron zeh, because they need to be buried that way. Either there's a laws that says they have to be buried that way, or for other reasons. And therefore, it's enough like that. I guess the reason is because the coffin goes underneath the ground, and therefore, and it disintegrates, so therefore, it's considered that the person's buried in the ground. And there are places, as I mentioned in Eretz Yisrael, that they bury without a coffin, but they put the body directly on the ground. Not even with any bore underneath. But rather on the side, there's two pieces of wood, and there's another one covering the front of the body. Why? The reason for that is that Kadeshalai Tipol Ha'ofer Al Guf Hameis, Shazo Bazilayinlai. In other words, even in places where they bury on the karka itself, on the ground itself, but they should put a board over the body and on the sides in order that when they bury him, that they shouldn't be throwing the dirt directly onto the body, because that's considered a bazillion. Now, the Kitzur continues, Yeshua comes out to Kovrim Sharmei Simkach, B'loi Aron. He says some places they're not careful about this, and they don't consider that to be a sign of disrespect. But only distinguished people they do that for. V'rak l'kayinim b'bukharim, for people who are a kayin, a priest, and the b'char, firstborn, shem chashuvim, that they're very important, oisin aron, that they make a coffin for. Now, it's discussed in the Paiskim also that some say even if it's buried in a coffin, but they make some sort of holes on the bottom, so that it should be some connection to the karka. Also, they do put in the coffin some dirt, which is also a fulfillment of the kfura bakarka of using earth for the burial. Now, there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kavar l'Moshe, that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu, sholoshanes haminik, not to change from the custom. So, some of the Pais can point out that the reason given why HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe is because of a custom. So he says, you see, when it comes to the laws of burial and of dealing with the deceased, that customs are very important, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was careful about a minhag. And it's also brought that keeping these customs keeps certain tsar, certain spiritual pain from the soul of the person that was deceased. Now the Kitzur continues talking about the halachos pertaining to a casket. Now, if you remember, we spoke about that something belonging to the nifter himself, to the deceased, whether it's part, whether it's attached to the body, those things become asur b'hana when Allah have benefit from. Now, the halacha as well is that a casket also becomes asur b'hana. And as once the deceased person is put inside, then the boards become asur b'hana, that even if for some reason, let's say, they wouldn't use the casket, but once it's already set aside and the body was put in it one time, even if for some reason, you know, maybe it broke or something and therefore they changed it, but one would not be allowed to have benefit from those boards. And in the same way, the Kitzur says over here that Kishayis and Aram, when they make the coffin, Yishizar b'shirin hanasarim, the ends of the boards, I guess they had to trim the wood, Shloilasas mehim eze tashmish, that they should not be used for any usage. V'yesh lahasik b'hem tachasakli, Shemachamim esamayim l'taris, he says, what should they be used? They should be used for the deceased person, that in those days, you know, the way they would heat the water for the cleansing process for the tire would be burning wood. So use the scraps of wood for making the coffin and use it for to warm up the water to do the tire process. And there's a interesting discussion in the Paiskim. There's a tshuva from the Sefer Tshuva Me'ahava about what happens if, let's say, they tried to put the person in one coffin, but that was a little too small, so now they switched coffins to another one. So the Tshuva Me'ahava paskins, and the Chazanish agrees with him, that since they were just trying it out, and it didn't work, so the fact that they set it aside, and for a second they put him in, and for right away they saw that it didn't work, then it wouldn't have the status of Asur Bahana, it wouldn't have the status that they couldn't derive benefit from the wood. Whereas in the case that we spoke about before, let's say they already put him in the coffin, and that was supposed to be the coffin, just something happened to it, let's say, you know, it cracked or something, and they want to switch it, then it was totally set aside for the person actually was inside of it, so therefore it would be Asur Bahana, one would not be allowed to get benefit from it. And in a similar vein, the Chazanish says that, let's say they're transporting a deceased person to Eretz Yisrael for burial, and that was the intent originally, And everyone knows that in Eretz Yisrael they do not use a coffin. So therefore, when they the fact that the person was transferred that way in the coffin, the Chazon Ish held that it would not be considered asur b'hano, prohibited to get benefit from it, because since the intent was only to use it temporarily, so therefore it doesn't have this prohibition of deriving benefit from it. Let's continue. In the Kitzer, says, Tuve Levov Shehilu Anim al Shulchanam. Then he brings a custom that people that were good hearted and they had a lot of guests and they always were at their table. So Yesh Lasis Lam Arim al Shulchan. So it's a custom to take that table that they did so many mitzvahs with and use that to make their coffin out of. As the pasuk says, that your righteousness should go in front of you. So therefore, when this person is going for their final journey, so the idea is let them use the wood from that table as a sign of to show their good deeds that they did. I've heard of, say, someone who was a big scholar and they always learned at a certain table, perhaps to use that table as the coffin as well. These are different customs that they have that come from this idea of a halach lefanecha tzedkecha, that one should bring in front of you your righteousness. There are those that also say if the person, you know, wrote a sefer, did other forms of mitzvahs, right, to put something like that in the kever, which is also the idea of that their mitzvahs should go in front of them when they go to the ultimate judgment in Shemayim. Sif Beis. So the positioning of the person's body should be laying on his back, upon of lamala, and the face upwards. Umishi actually offer Eretz Yisrael, one who has dirt from Eretz Yisrael, mafasrim k'tas tachta v'k'tas olav. And so the custom is that they should sprinkle some of that dirt on top of the person and under them. Al shem mechip rad mosay amay, because the pasuk says that the earth is a kapar, it provides atonement, so therefore by spreading the earth of Eretz Yisrael on the person, it provides some sort of atonement. Ve'ikr lases al habris kaidish, he wants to put the place of circumcision, ve'gam al piv al enav al kapov, and also in the palms of the hand, by the mouth and the eyes. And this is a custom that's practiced by most chaver kaddishas today. Sif Gimel. Ein kaver mesim etzayt zazeh. One should not bury a number of deceased together. Elim kein hayadayf and mafsik beinayhem yochel amu b'fnei atzmai. So if there was something separating, a partition, so a board in between, and the board could stand by itself, then it would be allowed. V'hu l'fachas shishetz bayis, and it has to be at least six fingers, which is a few inches. Afshar yesh lahachmer shiyah shisha tvachim bein zelazeh. There's an atzba, say it's around an inch, so shisha tvachim would be like 6 inches. Now shisha tvachim, a tefach is around, it's like 3.5 inches, so shisha tvachim is going to be around 20 inches, again, between each of them. Aval isha isha nikbarm im b'nam ubita, but a parent could be buried with a child, or im ben a bas ben a mubita, with a grandchild. And that's talking when unfortunately the parent is being buried and there's a child who is very young. Zaklal kol katan sheyashin imay b'chayev nikbar imay b'maisai. A child that's small enough that when the person is alive, it would be appropriate that the child would sleep with the parent. So if both of them are being buried at the same time, so then they could be buried together. Aval ben gadol im aviv, but an older son with a father, or bas gadol im ima, but or older daughter with the mother, enam nikbar miyachad, they're not buried together. Vafilu b'ktanim, and also with children, dafka likbar shneim b'bas achas, would be only to bury both of them at the same time. Aval im kvar nikbar echad, but if one's already buried, asr likbar esle es acher, then we do not want to disturb them, and therefore we don't bury the other one next to them. Now we're continuing with Sif Dalet. Kvar mavur b'simen kuf samach gimel. It's already explained in Simen kuf samach gimel, Sif Vav. The tinek shemeis, that a baby boy that passed away, before the bris milah, malan isay etzel kivrei, before the kfura, before the burial, one performs a bris, v'karen l'shem, and they're given a name, v'chein l'tinaikis, gamkein, tzrichim l'karen l'shem, they're given a name, and this is, again, done by the chevra kedisha, this is not done by the parents. Now, this custom is a very, very strong basis, to the point that it says in the Tshuvas Knesset Yechezkel, that if the child was buried without doing the bris, that we open up the kever and do it, which we usually never do. We very rarely open up a grave. And the Na'i Behuda says, obviously, that he agrees with this, but says, obviously, if a certain amount of time elapsed, that you know, the person could have disintegrated already, then obviously we're not going to disturb them. Now, there's another whole discussion in general about whether or not there's an obligation to bury a nephil. A nephil is a child that is stillborn that didn't live for 30 days. And the Yehuda is of the opinion that there is no obligation. That's what the Binyan Siyan, the Archaner also paskins like that. And he actually had an interesting story that this person had a stillborn child, and the doctor wanted to use to preserve the body to use it for medical knowledge. And according to the Binyan Siyan, he said that you don't really have an obligation of burial. He says, but the problem is that it's not a good idea because kayanim, because there's a tumah there, and therefore if a kayan were going to go to that room, they were to become defiled. And this doctor wanted to have it available, I guess, to teach from. So he said, so therefore he didn't think it was such a good idea. Likewise, in the Sefer Chavalim Bani Imim, it talks about a situation where they had difficulty retrieving the body of a stillborn child, and he says that they're not obligated to exhaust every possible resource, because again, there is this question whether or not there's an obligation to bury. L'chatchila, in a normal situation, of course, we always do bury it, the Chevra Kedisha deal with it very carefully, but it is important to know in certain situations where it's not feasible that there is this question among the Paiskim if there's an obligation to bury such a child. Now we're up to Sif Hei in the Kitzer. A nice and Shnei Arena Zelza. One should not put two coffins one on top of each other. Ela im yesh b'neim ofar shisha tvachim. Unless there's six tvachim, which we said is around 2 feet of ofar of earth. Now, we know in the olden days in Eretz Yisrael, they would bury one on top of each other in caves. But again, there was a separation in between. Generally today, we do not bury one on top of each other because there is this idea of not doing it, even though in the times of the Gemara they did do it. But there was a big problem in Europe with the cemeteries that they were very limited in space, and they needed to be able to fit in more graves, and you know they were not being given by the non-Jewish authorities more space for a cemetery. So it's brought, the Bach writes that in Krakow, in the cemetery in Krakow, they would bury again one on top of each other, again with the space in between that's supposed to be. The Levushei Mordechai also writes like that they would do it, and again they were careful to have the six tefachim. So again, as far as actual halacha, it seems that there definitely was a precedence to do it in these situations. Today, generally speaking, when there's enough land, they don't usually bury like that. Now, the next halacha is known as concept, which the Kitzer writes, and says, of Ein Kovrim Rasha Eitzel Tzadik, that one who is a Rasha, a sinner, shouldn't be buried next to one who's righteous, who's a Tzadik. As the pasuk says, Shenemer al tesayif im chatoim nafshi, don't bring in my soul together with sinners. So, and we learn from here. So, therefore, a person should not be buried together with. There's a person who's righteous shouldn't be buried together with a person who's not righteous. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that those people that had capital punishment, and for doing different averas, as we find over there in Sanhedrin, so they were separate, Beis HaKfar, so separate places for burial depending on the severity of the sin. Meaning to say, if one got chenek, one got strangulation, so that was for a lesser degree of averus than one who got stoning, skila. So they were in separate cemeteries. So from here we learn, this is what the Kitzur is quoting, v'afilu rasha gomor, even a person who's more of a sinner, shouldn't be buried etzel rasha kal, and cover from that we don't bury him after someone who did less. Now obviously you can't exactly measure it, but the point is that we don't, if someone we see from the Gemara, that even two levels of sinners we don't bury next to each other. And the Chasam Sofer writes that this concept is very, very strong, and it's the basis is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, which means it's actually a Torah concept. It's not even a rabbinic enactment. It's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And therefore, he says, what if it's a doubt? One has to be machmer, like Isuri Torah, just like in a question of a Torah prohibition, one is stringent. So here too, also, if it's a doubt, they should be stringent as well. Now, the Halacha is that if they separate around 8 amas, that's around 12 feet between the other graves, if that's enough, or if there's a machitza, if there's a partition, you know, and because of this, in cemeteries, they're careful, you know, to have a Jewish section of the cemetery, because again, you have people that they're kept Torah mitzvahs, so they should be kept by themselves, and in certain situations where they sort of need to be buried in the same place for different reasons, they'll try to either make this space, or they'll make some sort of mechitza, some sort of partition to separate the two. There's an interesting question that's brought in the Minchas Elazar and other Sfarim, which is, you have a person who is very sincere and they wanted to convert to Judaism, and unfortunately, before they had a chance to convert, they passed away. And the Minchas Elazar's case was that it was a non-Jew that before he actually went to the mikveh, he already had the bris, he had circumcision, so he's sort of in between, he passed away. So the Minchas Elazar says that because we see that he wanted to do the right thing, so therefore he could be buried in Kever Yisrael, he could be buried with people that keep Torah mitzvahs. A similar way, the another sefer, the Ikrei Dinim, says that there was a woman who was accepted to become Jewish, and just she didn't have a chance to go to the mikvah and to have a geiris until she died. So he said also one could be buried with Kever Yisrael because, again, we see the sincerity that they wanted to do the right thing. Now the Kitzur continues, V'chein en kaivin tzaddik, v'chol shekein beinoni v'kasher, eitzel tzaddik muflug. That one should not bury a righteous person, or just a regular, you know, good person, next to someone who was a great, great tzaddik, because again, it's supposed to be sort of equal. Now the Pesukim can say that even though there is a basis for this, but that's not the same thing as, heaven forbid, a tzaddik and a rasha, meaning this is just a regular Jew next to someone who is very, very great. So there's a concept of having a separate section, that's why there's an idea of Chalukas Harabanim, that they sort of put distinguished people in a separate section, but it's not the same thing as this idea that the Chasam Sofer says, that we have to be very careful that we don't bury a tzaddik and a rasha next to each other. The Kitzur continues, Shnayim shohayu soinim zel lazeh, two people that were enemies, that hated each other, ein lekavrim yachad, they should not be buried next to each other. Shegam b'maisim ein lemenucha yachad, because Chazal tell us that even when they die, because of their behavior when they were alive, they won't have a menucha, they won't have peace together if they're buried next to each other. Siv Zayin. Haminig lahakbet shalai likach mara echitzna miyad chaveir. So this is a custom that when people help in the burial, they want not just to hand a shovel to the other person, kishikarvin esameis, but he just puts it down, the other person takes it. Sif ches. La'achar shenichu esameis bekever, after they put the deceased person's body in the grave. Now it seems that, like in Eretz Yisrael, they use a stretcher. So there's a custom, mahapchen esamita shlosh pa'am, gets that they turn around the stretcher 3 times, ki mita begematria din, because the numerical value of the word mita is the same as the word din. If you look, the mem is 40, the 9 is the test is 9 and the hay is 5, so that comes out to 54. And din is the nun is 50 and the dalet is 4. So I guess that's how we get it. So the kitzur over here spells it with a yud in between, that would make it 64. But I guess they're spelling din without the yud, so that would be a dalet and nun, which would be 54. Or it could be that maybe mita is spelled with a yud, so then that would give us the extra 10. Okay, so l'rama. So the idea is basically that mita is the same gematria as din. L'rama is to signify she is hapech hadin l'rachmim, that if you turn around the mita, so there's a symbolism there that the mita, which is like din, should be turned around from din, from strict judgment to rachmim to mercy. The hesped limchol, and the sadness to joy. Zechel davar, as a little bit of a remembrance to this concept. Fachta mispedi l'machayli, you turn my eulogy, my sad time, into a machol, into dancing, into happiness. Now, like many of the customs we mentioned that try to minimize the din, like stopping every few amos, like we mentioned before. So if there's no tachlin, then this level of din is not present, so therefore it's not, doesn't need to be done. But yamshein tachlin ein eisenzeis, the idea that tachlin is not said, they did not do this. Sif test. In yeshiyasim bebeis hakfaras, is there a person who doesn't have parents, so they could say kaddish, as an acha kvura, then after the burial, im hu yom, if it's during the day, because we don't say it at night, marchikin l'chal apachas arba amas min hakfar, we separate 4 amas from the kever, because we're not supposed to daven at the actual grave. V'oimrim esamizmor l'matzeach, shimuzois kol ha'amim, we say that tilim, that's perek mem tes, v'yayim she'inim bar tachton oimrim mechtam l'david, and if it's a day that was tachazan said, we say a different capital, tilim tes zayin. V'chisum v'hayosam oimr kaddish, and then afterwards, the one who doesn't have a parent, so he normally could say kaddish, says kaddish. Dehu asid l'scharata, he says that special kaddish. Va'kol oimrim imay ad vikare, and the kelah says it along with him. V'yesh mekaymes noigim shegan ha'kaddish oimrim tchila koyd makfura lachatzid kadin. There are some places that the kaddish is said before the kvura. V'yesh mekaymes shegam tzid kadin ein oimrim ad lachat kvura. There are places that the whole tzid kadin that we mentioned before, that's not said until after the burial. And the rest of the halachas dealing with a base sekfaras, a cemetery, and questions about can a mace be taken out and moved to a different kever, these will be discussed with Hashem in the next year.